Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Just subscribe to the thing. I don't know. I ask you over and over again. If you're not going to do it now, you're probably not going to do it, so whatever. Savannah Craven on Teo is here. She's got infuriating details about the assault committed against her by a leftist crazy person earlier this year. We have Trump tariffs coming for Hollywood. We'll go over the details on that one. But we're going to start by doing Schumer's shutdown. Yes, we are right around the corner from another government shutdown. Are you bored of the storyline yet? I kind of am. But this one, I think, is a little different. Let me tell you why. Trump, Democrats set for last-ditch talks to avoid shutdown. Supposedly they met today. I don't know. I haven't seen any updates on that yet. Basically, they're trying to stop this. They only have a few more days before a shutdown's supposed to happen. We're right around the corner. And usually what goes on here, the typical way to understand a shutdown issue is there's a lot of talk about a shutdown. A lot of people warn you it's about to shut down. Things are going to get really bad. It's going to shut down. Shutdown's right around the corner. Here comes a shutdown. Shutdown, shutdown. Oh, we made a deal. Right, like that's how these things normally work. Over and over and over again, we've seen that. I do think this one's a little bit different. And part of it is the pressure coming from the left. Now, when you've seen situations before where the conservatives have been like, look, we want X, Y, and Z, or we're not going to vote for your budget or your continuing resolution, to be more specific, to make sure the government stays in full operation. What you have at that point typically is the conservative base saying, hey, get something out of this. What are you doing? Like, don't just roll over and continue this horrible spending. That's usually what happened. Well, sort of the same thing's going on the left side this time, which is the left is pissed off at people like Chuck Schumer. Now, because they're pissed off at people like Chuck Schumer, because they're pissed off they didn't get the shutdown they wanted last time, they've been upping the pressure, upping the ante, and now we're seeing a real rise in the possibility that this happens. Now, this is a prediction markets. You know I love the prediction markets. Kalshi has this one. Will there be a government shutdown this year? It's been around, at one point, as low as 25%, really a little bit lower than that. It's been around 35% for most of the year until about August. And in August, it starts rising up, rising up, rising up, and it now stands at a 73% chance of a government shutdown this year. Now, we're only a few days away, so there's a really good chance that it happens very, very soon. And there's a reason for that. Democrats dig in for shutdown to buck up demoralized voters. And that's really the dynamic that's playing out. There's a bunch of different parts to this, so let's go through them as quickly as we can. Three frustrated Democrats think they need to do something drastic to push back on the Trump administration and buck up their own demoralized voters. And the looming September 30th government funding deadline may be one of their best remaining chances. A senior Democratic aide said they would be surprised if there are enough Democratic votes to pass the House-passed continuing resolution to fund the government through November 21st. Okay, so, I mean, again, this is very nerdy drama, but to just bail it out there, you had a situation where in the House, they already passed this continuing resolution. I think it's for 7 weeks. It's not a long time. They're basically saying, hey, if you want the government to continue operating, just lock in everything that we're doing now. We won't change anything. Let's kick their can down the road for another 7 weeks, and then we'll have to deal with this all over again. And I'll be forced to do yet another monologue on government shutdowns. However, there's more to it than that. Spending fight puts leaders in Congress in a tough spot. Mr. Schumer, Chuckles Schumer, faces perhaps more pressure in the current confrontation than any other leader on Capitol Hill. While House Republicans can pass spending legislation without Democratic votes, which they recently did, the majority party in the Senate needs the buy-in of at least some members of the minority to clear a funding bill. Now, here is Chuck Schumer. And again, Chuck Schumer's terrible. We all know Chuck Schumer's terrible. He's not only is he bad when it comes to policy, he's pretty bad at his job as well. Likely he'll get taken out if she wants to take him out by AOC for the Senate seat in the primary coming up next year. But we don't know that yet. What we do know is Chuck Schumer sucks. And here's what he said.
Senator Schumer, is the difference this time the immense pressure you are getting from your base to stand up to and fight President Trump?
Absolutely not. No. We're hearing from the American people that they need help on health care. And as for these massive layoffs, guess what? Simple one sentence answer. They're doing it anyway. No. There's no shutdown. They're laying off all these people. The budget they proposed says another 300,000 federal workers should be laid off. They laid off 80,000 in the Veterans Administration. No. They're trying to intimidate the American people and us. But the bottom line is, if they fire all these people, first, the courts have brought a lot of them back because what they did was illegal. Mm. And second, there's such pressure on them not to do it because of the harm it causes people, that they back off. Originally, they fired 80,000 from the Veterans Administration. Now it's 30,000. That's still bad, but it shows you the heat is on them when they do this, and the American people won't like it at all.
Mm. Well, they don't like you either, and you're still there. So, I mean, what does that mean? Chuckles is in a real tough spot because he's got the people like the AOC sort of left, if you will, has been hammering him on not already doing a shutdown. They wanted a shutdown earlier to pressure Republicans into supporting a bunch of liberal things and rolling back a good chunk of the big, beautiful bill. It's really their target here. Now, Hakeem Jeffries is also in on this. Even back in March, Mr. Jeffries' caucus was spoiling for a spending showdown with Mr. Trump. At the time, every single House Democrat voted against the stopgap bill to avert a shutdown. This month, all but one did. Mr. Jeffries has approached the spending showdown as a chance to hone his party's message going into the 2026 midterm elections, hammering home his contention that GOP lawmakers slavishly follow Mr. Trump with disastrous consequences for the country. Now, of course, on the other side is Johnson. He's probably the one who's most clear of all of this. He kind of can throw his hands up. In some ways, Mr. Johnson has already cleared his biggest hurdle. He was able to muster his unruly conference into voting for a stopgap funding bill that contained no spending cuts or conservative policy dictates, something that many of them have long opposed, thus forcing Senate Democrats to choose whether to block it. Here is Johnson over on CNN.
So just to be clear, there's not going to be any negotiation at this meeting. This is just going to be you and Thune and Trump telling Jeffries and Schumer, we're not giving you anything.
Right.
Look, I'm not going to get in front of the president and tell you what he will do. But I talked with him, you know, a couple of times, even yesterday. And I'm telling you where his head is. He wants to bring in the leaders to come in and act like leaders and do the right thing for the American people. It's fine to have partisan debates and squabbles, but you don't hold the people hostage for their services to allow yourself political cover. And that's what Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are doing right now.
Now, of course, these things just have reversed 100 times. And you've heard the same, the opposite words out of opposite parties over and over and over again. What does this actually really mean and what's going to happen? Now, President Trump, and we talked to you about this a million, bazillion, gazillion times. President Trump, often when he's speaking, is not speaking to you. He is speaking to somebody else, someone in the middle of a negotiation. We saw this, recently with the Russia-Ukraine thing is a good recent example of this. When he thought he might be able to get Vladimir Putin to agree to stop doing this, he was much more favorable toward Putin and maybe a little more critical of Zelensky. Now he's kind of seen that road's dried up, and now he's going the opposite way and saying, hey, maybe we'll give more weapons to Zelensky. They could take all their territory back. Like Trump, when he makes statements like this, it's not always that he's making a statement as to what he believes. He's making a statement as to what negotiating position he wants to get to. He's saying something that he believes gets him there. He's trying to pave the road to the outcome that he wants, not necessarily giving you what his actual opinion is on the thing. So that's very difficult for people to understand. I don't know why it is. I know people who have been watching this show or listening to the radio show have heard us talk about this so many times. You probably already think about this things this way. But it is an important part of this. Trump did talk about the shutdown, and he kind of outlined what he's thinking here in this negotiation with left-wingers.
This is all caused by the Democrats. They asked us to do something that's totally unreasonable. They never change. They want to give money away to illegals, people that entered our country illegally. They want to give them massive federal money. And we don't want to do that because it means everyone's going to just keep pouring back. Right now, we have absolutely perfect borders like you haven't seen in many years, even better than I had great borders during my 4 years. But these borders are stone cold closed. close. You can only come into our country legally now, but the Democrats want to give it all away. They want to also, they want to open up the borders. Take a look at that. Big thing. They want to open borders again after what we're going through now, getting rid of prisoners, getting rid of all of these people dropped out from mental institutions, drug dealers, drug addicts, everything. They're putting everybody into our country. It's all ended now. But this is what Schumer wants. This is what the Democrats want.
Now, you can go through that. Of course, the media did. What do you mean it's a perfect border? What do you mean they're just dropping out mental institutions and drug dealers and drug addicts? Can't believe he said that. Blah, 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 blah. What does that tell you? It tells you what Trump's position is right now on this issue, which is, I'm not giving you anything. Come on in here. Ask for it. Good job. Go for it. No. That is not a guy who's looking to make a deal here right now. Now, he might wind up doing it. He might wind up finding some path to a quote-unquote deal. But every report from inside, even the White House, is saying, look, we've had enough of this. We're sick of these people asking for this stuff. They know they're not going to get this. And this is just a political game. We're going to stick to our guns here. We think we are on the right side of this. Now, what's fascinating, of course, is how the media presents this stuff. When it's Republicans in this position where they're the minority party, they're out of power, and they say, look, we want X, Y, and Z to vote for this terrible bill because we think this bill is pretty bad, but we'll go along with it if you give us X, Y, and Z. They are always, always presented to the American people as the people responsible for the shutdown. Always. Will that happen this time? Now, the left is the one doing a very similar thing. They're saying they want more health care stuff. They want some of the big, beautiful bill responded. They want some, tax incentives restated. These things that, you know, they're typical Democratic priorities. Will they be presented this time as the enemies in this battle? I tend to doubt it. Now, Trump, on the other hand, and as I mentioned, he's already pretty strong on this, and he's going even farther, saying Trump is threatening mass firings of federal workers if government shutdown isn't averted. One of the things that he's doing is instead of saying, we're going to lay these people off and it's going to be your fault, he's saying, like, look, if we have to send these people home because of the shutdown, they're not coming back. So that's on you. I'm telling you in advance, that's what's happening. We're going to fire everybody that we have to lay off like this. Now, he has had the one minor thing that Chuck was correct about is Trump has lost some lawsuits on this, and some of the people he had fired have been able to come back to their jobs. We will see how this works out. It's going to be an unprecedented step, something that hasn't necessarily been done at that to that extent, this level before. But we will see if he's able to do it. Mike Johnson is been pretty critical of Chuck Schumer and his demands. And if you're worried about what might be coming, how serious is this? Here's Johnson laying this out for you.
So we've been working really hard to get the House back to the regular appropriations order, regular order, and we've achieved that. In the House, in a bipartisan fashion, they passed all 12 appropriations bills through the committee, three of them off the floor. The Senate passed three bills. Remember the old videos on Saturday mornings about how a bill becomes a law? If the House and the Senate disagree on an appropriation spending bill, they go to a conference committee to work it out. We voted to do that. All this is working well, but we're coming up on the end of the fiscal year. September 30th. So we need a few more weeks to finish this good work. So what we did in a responsible manner as Republicans in charge is we offered a totally clean short-term CR to get that job done. Chuck Schumer saw that. He returned a counteroffer that is filled with partisan wish lists and poison pills and demands. It includes, for example, Brett, what Chuck Schumer is arguing for. He wants to reinstate free health care for illegal aliens. He wants to add $500 million to prop up liberal media outlets. And he wants to add a massive $1.4 trillion spending hike to what should be a simple 7-week stopgap funding measure. We can't do that. We're not going to do it.
I bring up all of this largely because I want to get to this one clip of Chris Murphy, who is increasingly becoming one of the most annoying people in all of government. And now I know we could obviously bring up Eric Swalwell, and he's probably going to take the cake at this point. But Chris Murphy's trying really hard. He really likes social media, really likes being on TV, really likes cameras, really likes everyone talking about him. So he says a lot of really stupid things. It's a good way of getting attention. And he does it over and over and over and over again. This one in particular is, you know, they're not always so well thought out. You know, he doesn't really like stop to think about what he's actually saying. In this particular case, I think the reasons should be obvious.
I think Democrats are united in a couple simple ideas, that we have to stand up for people whose lives would be ruined by these massive health care premiums, and then that we have no moral obligation to pay the bills for democracy's destruction. And so if this budget doesn't roll back at least some of the grave damage that's being done to the rule of law, then Democrats have no obligation to support it. I think we can consensus in the country.
Let me clap. Oh, God, these people are pathetic. By the way, what? How did that show get canceled? I can't believe a show that would book Chris Murphy as a guest could possibly get canceled. I do this for a living. I barely know who Chris Murphy is. You think anyone in Colbert's audience has any idea who this clown is? He's a giant nobody in government. No one cares about him at all. Why would he get booked on a freaking late night show? Well, of course your show is getting canceled, you moron. So Chris Murphy, who's a just dolt, did you follow the logic there of that statement? I love it. So he's funding the demise of democracy, and he won't do that unless they approve one of the tax incentives he's asking for. And then he's fine voting for the demise of democracy. I mean, do you understand the rhetoric isn't consistent here? It can't be. It's all fascist unless there's a child tax credit. That wasn't the difference between good government and Hitler. You do realize that, right? I mean, these people are so incredibly dishonest and disingenuous and just plain stupid. Is there one person on earth who believes this nonsense? I gotta say, Chris Murphy, we really need to make a list of just like the top morons in Congress, and we gotta do something with that, because I mean, Murphy's rising the charts. He's getting up there. Now you got Eric Swalwell, of course. You have my girl Jasmine Crockett, who'd be up towards the top of the list. There's definitely a good collection of them, but Murphy's looking to get some attention. He likes that you're talking about him, and so we're gonna give him his wish, because we're super super nice. So remember, fascism bad. Fascism with your tax credit, okay. If you put hundreds of millions of dollars toward liberal media companies that are all of your allies, then all the fascism goes away. Who cares about all those concentration camps that, by the way, do not exist? The only part of the shutdown that typically matters, and I will say, I'm not the type of guy who really cares about a government shutdown. I'm frankly fine with it. It seems to me to put the government back into size. When we keep the shutdown, now, of course, they screw it up every time because they wind up paying for all the stuff they didn't even get in the period where it was shut down. But when you think about it this way, they always say, oh, well, if we shut down, then only essential employees are going to be able to come to work. Maybe that's the way the government should always be. Maybe non-essential employees should never come to work at the government. Have you thought of that option? Why would we want any employees that are not essential to show up to work? Ta-da! Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. That's basically what I have for you. I will say, shutdowns can push the size of government from this expanded nonsense that we currently have into something that's actually a little bit better sized. Now, it's not smart-sized, right? We wind up cutting out some things that are more important than the things that we keep. So it's not exactly correct the way that they're doing it that way. But frankly, I'm not that worried about it. The big deal that comes out of these shutdown bills is how the media reacts to it and how people react to what the media says. Usually what the media says is Republicans bad, Democrats good. Most of the time that works. Not all the time. Most of the time that is a successful effort. It's a lot harder, I think, here because Republicans are already passing these bills. Right, like when it's a Republican or in the minority, they want to do a shutdown. We say these are really obvious things. We think they're really, really good ideas. Most of the American people agree on them. They should do them to avoid the shutdown. And then they say, well, they're holding us hostage. Now they're doing the exact same thing and claiming the opposite, which is just the way they work all the time. What comes out of this politically is really the only thing that's important. We're heading into a midterm, and that is a vital difference between these two parties. Again, if you haven't followed this before, historically, the out party is heavily favored when it comes to midterm elections. Republicans are going to go into this as the underdog, especially in the House. There's just no question about that. They're going to have to win, even though some of the polling is looking favorable for them this early on. There is a big question as to whether you can get through a period like this and wind up winning in a year from November. So we will see how this plays out. It's going to be an important part of your life probably over the next few weeks, though, because the shutdown is likely coming. I'd say it's over 50%. The markets say it's 70%. So that's probably what we have around the corner. Get used to a lot of really annoying media reports. We'll all try to get through this time together. One of the ways I like to avoid annoying stories about government shutdowns is I like to watch football. Okay, I don't know if you know this, by the way. America's team, the Philadelphia Eagles, 4-0 on this young season. But there's a couple of Monday night games tonight, and there's a new way to experience fantasy football this season. It's Prize Picks. They make it easy. More or less on at least two player projections, like pass yards or touchdowns or rushing yards, whatever it is. You lock in your lineup, and you can play in over 40 states, Texas, California, Georgia, wherever you want. With PrizePicks, they have a stacks feature, which you can now pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. You want more, on a particular quarterback, you can go pass yards, rush yards, and touchdowns, for example. Now you can stack that all together. Another one, which is really cool, is you can follow players directly in the PrizePicks feed tab. I didn't really realize this was here until recently, but you click on the feed tab, scroll down, you can see other people's lineups, and say, oh, that one looks pretty good, and just go copy lineup and make it super easy. So it's even easier than it was before. Whether it's a friend or an influencer or just someone with a hot hand, you can see every lineup they create in the feed form, from injury reboots to flex and power play modes. That PrizePicks has had lots of really cool innovations in this space for a long time, and it makes it a little bit more fun, a great escape from a place that sometimes I will say lately in the news, kind of feel like you need an escape a little bit. Download the Prize Picks today, app today. You can get the, with the code STU, you get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. The code is STU. Get $50 in free lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's a lot of fun. You're going to have a lot of fun playing this. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Earlier this year, a brazen attack was caught on video. I want to show you a moment of it. It's with Savannah Craven Anteo. She is interviewing someone about the pro-life issue, and here's how that went.
So you went from saying that my outfit was really cute to saying I'm an effing idiot. That's so mean.
But I think that your point of view is very obstructed, and I think that you just don't understand the magnitude of having a child.
Yeah, well, I'm not the one who admitted they would be okay with killing babies in foster care and killing children that have been abused.
That's not the point. What I'm saying.
That's really.
Oh my God!
Absolutely unbelievable. Where does this case stand now? Well, there's an amazing update to it. I want to bring on conservative activist Savannah Craven Anteo. She's a face of Her Patriot Voice on YouTube. Savannah, thanks for taking the time and coming on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate you doing this. First of all, how are you doing? I mean, I saw photos after this incident, and I mean, it was, there's blood. It was not pretty.
Yes. Well, over the past 6 months, I've pretty much become known as the girl who got punched in the face on the streets of Harlem. And while it has been very traumatic for me going through this, it's also brought a lot of attention to the pro-life issue. And so God has really used this for good. And I'm very grateful. But I am still going to be seeking justice for what happened to me.
Yeah, let's take it back from before this incident happened. You're out there just interviewing people on the street. You just want to talk to people about the pro-life issue. What happened in this interaction?
Yes. Well, it was like any other day where I was actually contracted with Live Action. It's a great pro-life organization. And I was out on the streets doing Planned Parenthood efforts because it was a big topic in the media at the time about Trump possibly defunding Planned Parenthood, which thankfully they have done for 1 year with the Big Beautiful Bill. And I was getting people's thoughts on it, seeing their knowledge about Planned Parenthood. And it was like any other day. I had done a couple of interviews prior to this woman coming up to me, and they were fine. And when she comes up to me, she has a very positive demeanor. She actually gave me a compliment, complimented me on my hair, my skin tone, and seemed great. And I asked her if she wanted to be in the interview. She agreed. We started getting into abortion, Planned Parenthood. She was obviously on the opposite end of the spectrum, but that's why I'm out there, is to have conversation. And about 20 minutes into it, she makes a very wild comment where she says that she thinks it's better off for children who might be abused to be dead instead of suffer that abuse. And I asked her, should we kill the kids in foster care? And her response was, why not? Mm. I was shocked because she was not trolling. She was very, very serious in how she said this. And when I repeated that to her after her mocking my Christian beliefs, you know, just the whole interview from that point on was very, very hostile. She was obviously very upset. She just took her fists back, punched me in the face once in the middle of the forehead, the second time with her iPhone. And actually, it caused a massive slash, a gash rather, in my eyebrow. And I had to get 2 stitches, a tetanus shot. I went to the emergency room. It was horrific.
Yeah, and to be, it was also pretty much a sucker punch, right? Like, basically out of nowhere. It's not like this was in the middle of a fight or something. You had no idea that this interaction was going to go this way. When these sort of man on the street interviews happen, there are kind of 2 ways that it goes. There's a sort of a polite, interactive back and forth. Sometimes they, though, can be, you know, insulting and goading and all of that. What I've seen of the interview was not like that at all. What was your intent going in?
Sure. Well, my intent is always to at least plant a seed, right? It's amazing when I'm able to change minds right on the spot. But when you've been pro-abortion your whole life and you have these thoughts, of course, maybe her opinion on abortion has been shaped by her own experience with abortion or somebody that she knows. And I understand that. And so the goal is always to just plant a seed and start conversation, because it's something that we really struggle to do as a society nowadays without flipping out at each other. And unfortunately, that's where this interaction went. And I agree with you. I don't think I did anything that should have provoked this, but it happened.
Yeah, I mean, not that there's really anything you can say that should provoke that, I should be clear. But, you know, sometimes right. These things, you know, there are those, there's a genre, I suppose, of those videos that turn that way. It didn't seem like yours was this way at all. Watching this happen, I think you hit on something there. You mentioned maybe it was something that she had dealt with in her life, or someone close to her had been in this period. And I find that that's true often with people on the other side than we are when it comes to the pro-life issue, is when they are forced to sort of open their eyes and talk about, actually admit what they support, a lot of times it does put them in a really defensive posture, because they're admitting something that they can even themselves see is terrible. Is that kind of what you think caused this?
Absolutely. I mean, we as human beings don't like to be called out for our sins, right? Especially when it's something that can affect women as negatively as it does. The statistics show that women are more likely to turn to drug and alcohol use. The guilt is overwhelming. I've met women who had abortions over 50 years ago, and it's still something that they think about to this day. It is truly the most unnatural thing that a human being can go through, is to have your child ripped out of your womb. And so when you are forced to think about it in a different way and actually maybe think, maybe that wasn't empowering, maybe it wasn't a woman's right, it's difficult. And I understand that. But how are we going to fix any of this? How are we going to move forward and get women the healing that they need if we can't even talk about it civilly?
That's so true. You know, we're all kind of in the aftermath and in the reeling from what happened with Charlie Kirk just a couple of weeks ago. And it strikes me as, like, watching your video, thankfully, God forbid, it was not even more violent than it was, but it was in some ways a pretty similar event, right? Like, you have someone who is unwilling to hear another person speak and turns to violence because of that. We are living in a different world right now, Savannah. Do you fear going out there and having these interactions these days?
Yes, and it's sad that in America, a country where the First Amendment is freedom of speech for a reason, if we don't even have the right to speak our minds and speak what we believe, we are not truly free. And so exactly what happened with Charlie Kirk, he's sitting there explaining his beliefs, trying to have an open dialogue, and somebody is so intimidated by him trying to just simply speak words that they, instead of confronting him or just ignoring his existence, which they could have done, by the way, they decided to kill him. They decided to murder him. And I think it's very, very, very specific area that he was shot in, his neck, right? Where he speaks from. And that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to silence our voices.
One of the crazy things about this is, you know, some crimes are really hard to solve, right? Like, some crimes go on 30, 40, 50 years with you know, as a cold case. Your case, really easy to solve because you talked to the woman for 20 minutes beforehand and all of this happened on video. She punches you, as we just showed you, in the face on the video. It's captured. You're able to turn this evidence over to authorities. My assumption would be this ends in her prison time, jail time, massive fine. I don't know what the consequence would be. However, that's not where this went. Can you tell us what happened after this?
No. Well, unfortunately, on July 23rd, I was watching my assailant's Instagram stories, as I have been for the past 6 months, gathering evidence of no remorse, of her actually making fun of me and saying that she wished she would do it again and liking comments that support her violent actions. And she put on her Instagram story that all of her charges had been dropped. And a big thanks to her lawyers. Meanwhile, I heard nothing from the district attorneys that are supposed to be representing me and bringing this case to justice. And my lawyers never heard anything either. So how is it that the only reason I find out about this is because I happened to see her Instagram story that day? I immediately reached out to the DAs representing me. All of a sudden, my iMessages aren't delivering as iMessages. They're just green bubbles. And no answer to calls. My special counsel or my private counsel and my lawyer reached out on my behalf, emails, phone calls, text messages, absolutely nothing. And so then when my private counsel did more research into actually what happened, they saw that these DAs failed to file a certificate of readiness, which basically allowed for this case to be timed out in 90 days. And now nothing can be done criminally. Unfortunately, we are going to be pursuing a civil case because this cannot end here. She has to be made an example of. And I was also left with $3,000 in medical bills for my emergency room visit. I mean, the trauma that this has caused me, it has not been good. And the craziest part of all of this is that the DA placed in charge of my case is not even a member of the New York bar. How do you put just an inexperienced law school graduate, how do you give him a case such as this, such a violent assault case that receives such widespread media attention? Millions of people have seen this video across the world, and they allow this case to be dismissed. It's disgusting.
And I've also read that this happened under Alvin Bragg, is a name that we're very familiar with. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
Unbelievable. I guess I shouldn't be surprised on that one. A couple more things here for you, Savannah. The perpetrator of the crime that we saw on video earlier, she wrote on, I think, Facebook, She said, to Savannah, I sincerely apologize, but I cannot sit around and allow you to continue pushing this one-sided narrative. I understand hands being put on someone is never the answer, but throwing rocks and hiding hands is worse. She knows the truth, and she needs to release the footage in her in its entirety. Savannah is a professional antagonist and not a reporter. The truth will be told. Any idea what she's referring to there? And you want to respond to that, Savannah?
Yes, I remember when she posted that, and the full unedited footage, other than the awful profanities that she was screaming after she assaulted me, is up on Live Action's YouTube channel. Mm. Fully unedited, the whole 20 plus minute long video. And again, I don't even know how you could possibly edit that footage to make it look like somehow I was at fault, even if you didn't see the full 20 minute video. She clearly just brings her fist back, punches me in the face out of nowhere.
Yeah, not the answer. Violence, not the answer in these situations. Last one for you, Savannah. What do you make of the sort of state of the pro-life movement right now? We've obviously had a really good development with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. But, you know, the left-wing states, blue states, are doubling and tripling down, sending pills into states that have changed the laws. I mean, it is a complicated time in this movement.
Yes, it is. And that's why, especially after Charlie's death, people need to continue to speak out, not only on our social media, not only at our churches or places where it is comfortable. And speaking to your family who's already pro-life isn't going to do much. I'm not saying you have to go into the lion's den every day and debate pro-abortion supporters like I do, but volunteering at your local pregnancy center, helping a mother in need. These are the types of things that are going to push a pro-life society forward while we are also working legislatively against these people who want to make abortion legal up until birth.
Another way you can help is, at the very least, we can help take care of some of Savannah's health issues and the bills associated with them. There's a GiveSendGo set up, givesendgo.com/Savannah Craven. If you have an opportunity, and maybe you don't want to be as gutsy as Savannah is walking out of the streets and getting invites or arguments with people, getting punched in the face. If you don't want to do that, this is another way you can help. And Live Action's a great organization as well, another one that you can help. Savannah, thank you so much for doing this and your bravery going out there. I'm so sorry this happened to you, but you know, we'd love to be able to cover your future efforts in this realm because it's vitally important. And I'm so glad there's someone out there doing this.
Thank you so much. Yes, we will not let the left-wing violence win. Again, I believe that this is a spiritual battle more than just a left or right issue. And I'm going to continue going out in the streets, going on college campuses to change the culture. We have to do it.
Thank you so much. Please be safe. Savannah Craven on Teo. Check her out on her Patriot Voice on YouTube. Savannah, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you so much.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
Well, you might be thinking of moving right now after watching something like that happen. Maybe you happen to live in that area and you're like, I need to get somewhere else. If you do, I understand. And buying or selling a home is one of those things that's, you know, it's the biggest financial decision in your life, but there's so much else associated with it, right? It stresses you out. There's all this stuff going on. You don't understand how to work through it because it's not your job. It's a real estate agent's job, right? But real estate agents aren't all built the same. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com, this is a company that Glenn Beck started. It's a free service that connects you with top-rated full-time agents in your area who have been carefully vetted, not just for their experience, but for their integrity, their communication style, and their track record of success. These are agents who understand the market, who know how to price things right, and who genuinely care about helping you reach your goals, not just closing the deal and moving on. Whether you're relocating across the country, downsizing, maybe after the kids leave, or you're just buying your very first home, Real Estate Agents I Trust will connect you with someone who's been trusted by other families just like yours. This isn't just a random online listing. It's a hard hard fact-based network that is trusted by tons of people in this audience, and they're all about working to do the job right. And it's really more than just paperwork. I think you'll find that out when you go with realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com, a free service to you, by the way, realestateagentsitrust.com. Well, we thought this day might come. It's a very sad day. It looks like we've lost Eric Adams. Yes, Eric, soon to be former mayor of New York. He is ending his reelection campaign. It was a bizarre, one of the most bizarre political careers of all time. He's a Democrat. He is now saying that he's going to leave. He's had all sorts of scandals and weirdness since he's been in office. At one point, he was flirting with trying to become part of the Trump administration to get something out of this. He's now leaving. Now, of course, the thought is when he leaves, most of his votes will go to Cuomo, which might make the race closer. So far, at least prediction markets looking at this saying they're very unimpressed. They say this, they're not going to make much of a difference. Mamdani's still the overwhelming favorite in that race. Curtis Sliwa is going to also be pressured to try to get out of the race. I don't think he's going to go anywhere, though. So we will see if that does occur. But that's where we stand right now. We also have new threats of tariffs from Donald Trump to movies, foreign movies. Now, this is an interesting one for a couple of different reasons. Number one, like, some movies do need to be made overseas, right? Like, if you're making a movie, you know, about Germany, it should probably be filmed in Germany, right? So that's part of it. And, we're already at kind of a place where American movie companies are struggling. It's, you know, could be difficult for them. I don't know. I mean, again, some movies I think can be made here that should, you know, be great if they were, but definitely a weird thing. He's saying about 100% tariffs he wants to do on this. Another part of this that's weird is AIPA, which is one of my favorite laws just because of how fun it is to say. But AIPA is a law that basically has been used as the justification for most of Trump's tariffs. If he does it through other laws, it makes it a lot more difficult. Now, AIPA does not mention tariffs, and that's been one of the controversies. That's all working its way through court. I don't bring that up to talk about AIPA yet again, even though it is really fun to say AIPA. But I will say AIPA kind of seems to specifically say you can't tariff films. Here's what it says. It says, the authority granted to the president by this action, by this section, does not include the authority to regulate the importation from any country of any information or informational materials, including films. Also, by the way, including microfiche. So, if you happen to be getting into the microfiche business right now, you better hold off. At any point, that could be targeted for tariffs. And finally, a Bad Bunny is going to be hosting the Super Bowl halftime show. Now, you might say, who's Bad Bunny? And I would say, a guy. And then you would say, well, what songs is he singing? And I would say, many of them, probably. Now, I will say, he's had all sorts of anti-Trump stuff. He even said he would not perform inside the United States because he doesn't want to give ICE a target, because I guess he thinks all of his audience is a bunch of illegal immigrants, which is a very strange thing to think about your audience, but apparently that's what he thinks. He now says he will come Super Bowl. Sure, I'm there. One other interesting part of this, it's not just that he's a lefty and done all these sort of crazy things. It's also, it looks like he's going to be the most streamed artist on Spotify for the entire year, even exceeding like Taylor Swift's numbers. So he is kind of a big deal, I guess, in certain circles, although this is a global chart. So a lot of those listens are coming from different countries. And that's sort of the underlying truth, I think, of this decision by the NFL. They really want to turn this into a global situation. They want to turn this into a global event. They want to turn into a global business. And they are trying to make a lot of money from other countries. So that seems to me to be the motivation. We'll see. There's a lot of pressure coming now, too. We'll see if they back off of it. Back in a second. Let's be honest, this isn't something that most guys want to bring up in a casual conversation, but if you've noticed your performance or your stamina isn't where it used to be, you're not alone. You're just also not out of options, because Blue Chew is a discreet, effective solution that works fast and helps you stay ready when it counts. You just go on to BlueChew.com, fill out a quick questionnaire, and consult with a licensed medical provider. If you're approved, the prescription ships directly to your door, fast, easy, and made right here in the USA. No in-person appointments, no awkward pharmacy pickups. and no hassle. And right now, Blue Chew is letting you try it free for an entire month, so you can see the results for yourself before paying even a dime. And we've got a special deal going on right now for our listeners. As always, your first month of Blue Chew is free. Just use the promo code STU at checkout, pay $5 for shipping, and that's it. BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Join Blue Chew's global mission to make things better in the bedroom. Head to BlueChew.com for details and safety info. It's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Okay, so here's what happened. There's a teacher, and the teacher gets a bunch of kittens, a new litter of kittens. And the kittens aren't doing all that well, but, you know, what a great way to maybe make the kittens feel a little bit better and make the class, which is an advanced animal science class, understand the animals, maybe pet a few cute kittens. What a great way to go. And that was a great way to go until instead they decided to feed the kitten to the snake that was in the room. So, no, it was an ailing kitten. It was going to probably die anyway. But apparently people don't like that. Now there's a very interesting, honestly, a very interesting animal lesson to be taught here from all of this, but I don't have time to get into that now.